Welcome to all the strong people out there. I don't know what you've been through, but I'm here to say you're not alone and to share with you how some days I'm just barely surviving and some days I'm thriving. Thank you for joining me today. Today's quote comes from Maya Angelou. My mission in life is not merely to survive, but to thrive, and to do so with some passion, some compassion, some humor, and some style. Let's get into it. Today we have with us the founder of the Sober BFF, Nicole, and she's going to discuss with us her experience with alcohol and mental health. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being available. I was intrigued the first time I saw your Instagram account come up in my newsfeed, the Sober BFF. I said, that is so fantastic. I want to learn more about this. What can you tell me about the Sober BFF?
Sure. So I decided to quit drinking back in September of 21. I just felt like, you know, my mental health has always been, not always, but, you know, going through adulthood has been kind of tough. I've suffered with anxiety and depression, and I never really knew how to cope with, like, the big things in life, the little things in life. It didn't matter. It just seemed like I didn't have really good coping mechanisms, and I would drink a lot. I would go out and drink, and it didn't matter if it was, you know, celebrating someone getting married, if it was a breakup, if it was a good thing or a bad thing. Everything just seemed like the end result was drinking. And that was how we celebrated things. That was how we mourned deaths. It was just how we did everything. And I started to learn that, you know, the more things that were going on in my life, the more that I would drink. And as I was getting older, I was blacking out more, you know, waking up in the morning and not remembering the night before, getting into arguments with friends or boyfriends, just things that were kind of out of character for me, and feeling incredibly overwhelmed the next day. So after a lot of evaluating, I decided to take a break from alcohol, which resulted in pretty much quitting, I guess, forever, let's hope. And that was in September of 21, like I said. And I found the sober community on Instagram to be so inspiring. I found it to be different. It wasn't like anything that I had seen in real life. And I wanted that. Like, I had wished that I had a friend or a person in my life that didn't drink to kind of speak to it to me, to tell me about the perks of not drinking, to tell me how it would help me, how it would help my mental health. And so I created the Sober BFF, hoping that I could maybe be that person for other people to kind of look to say, you know, that there is another side of alcohol, and that, you know, to show a side of sobriety that's not boring, because I feel like that's a stigma that comes with not drinking, is that you're boring. So that's why I created the Sober BFF on Instagram, and I've made some really good connections. I've definitely learned a lot. I've had a lot of people reach out that I've been able to provide, you know, advice to, support, laugh with, whatever the case may be. So it's really helped me to get through a lot of times on this journey. And I think it's helped other people as well.
Have you noticed any differences since you stopped drinking?
Yeah, definitely. My anxiety is the main thing. I remember before I quit drinking, I was constantly anxious about everything. The big things were like, you know, if I was going to be late to something. So I notoriously am early for everything to like an obnoxious degree. You know, if I know I have to go somewhere, I'm like planning out how long is the drive? Is there parking? You know,
that's just so smart.
Just all these things. It is smart, and it's good to not be late, but it's like, you can't let those type of things consume you. And that's like a small level of it, but I just had anxiety about everything, and it got to the point where it would be really crippling. Like any type of stress at work or any type of conflict, I just would almost shut down. And I was constantly in the state of just being anxious and being depressed. And once I've quit drinking, I think, and found some coping mechanisms. I also started therapy. I saw a psychiatrist. So I think all of it combined has really helped me to find different coping mechanisms. You know, if it's going to the gym, if it's going for a walk, if it's calling a friend, any of those things to kind of just get out of your head and to stay busy. And I've just found that, you know, those levels of anxiety, the crippling depression where I'm like not getting out of bed for days, or it sounds probably sick and disgusting, but that's a part of depression, you know, not brushing your teeth, not regularly showering, living in clutter. Like that was very much me for a few years. You know, I would have bouts like that. And now since I've quit drinking and really, you know, try to just put the power in my own hands as far as my mental health and try to help myself. I just find that I have good routines. And it's just been a total change in its entirety, is the way that my days go from start to finish. So it's been a really positive change. And yeah,
So
it's just
the
much
biggest coping skills you've learned are going to the gym, going for a walk, and staying busy, along with the medication management
Yep. And I
and the
think having
therapy.
in therapy, yeah, therapy has been a godsend to me. And I think everybody goes through things, and some of our trauma is very big. And then there's people that have trauma that isn't so big, right? And I think as you go through life, you don't think that maybe you need that. But I think everybody can benefit from therapy, from getting a different person's perspective. You know, it's different than calling your best friend that maybe always coddles you, or maybe they always take the defense with you. Having like a unbiased person to talk to your problems about and to give you that feedback. You know, when I started therapy, they told me to start journaling a little bit, which I have done. And just all of those things combined, I just think that you learn so much from therapy. So therapy's been absolutely huge for me.
Can we talk about when you started drinking or how you started drinking?
I think the first time I probably ever drank was maybe when I was 17 or 18. My mom let us have like, you know, a pina colada at like a graduation party, a birthday party, whatever that it was. You know, under her supervision, but I didn't start heavily drinking until college. And I remember I went to college away, and I lived with four roommates, and they were all, you know, party girls, and we snuck liquor into the rooms. Our moms were all drinkers, and they were okay with that, even though we were underage. You know, they would buy us the gallons of vodka, and we would do like power hour, where we would take shots before we would go out to a bar around the way that would let us in, and they would let us drink. And I had some scary experiences there. There was a night that I actually blacked out and like fell asleep in the bathroom, and somebody found me, and they had to carry me out, and my roommates had to put me in a shower with cold water. So I've had a lot of experiences like that throughout the years, and it's embarrassing to look back on now. I wish that I would have saw how bad that was back then. But I didn't. But I think a lot of that
Hindsight is
is
2020.
it is, and I think some of that is learning and growing too, right? Like I think everybody has experiences with alcohol where they overdrink. I think that that's completely normal, but I've always been the one that like it would always happen one or two times a year where I would like get embarrassingly drunk or fall asleep in the middle of nowhere. So yeah, it always happened, and I was constantly like, "Is this gonna be the time? Is this gonna be this?" Okay, well, you know what? It's been 4 months, and I haven't blacked out anywhere or gotten into a fight or anything. So maybe I'm doing good now, you know? But yeah, so basically, I think I was 17 or 18. And then I didn't really start drinking a lot until I was in college. And then it just continued.
College is a wild time.
It is, and it's experimental. I think a lot of that was fairly normal. But like I said, my roommates that I lived with, none of them had that experience of, you know, somebody finding you in a bathroom and you're completely blacked out, like asleep. Like none that didn't happen to them. It only happened to me, and it happened to me, I think, twice
That
in
is
that
very
during that time.
scary and dangerous.
It is so dangerous. It's so dangerous. But yeah, that's what college life was like for me.
What happened after college?
After college, I feel like I was more of like a, you know, weekend drinker, a bar hopper, a go to the club type of girl, and I would drink a lot. And the same thing, you know, once or twice a year, I would have, you know, a scary experience where I would, you know, get dropped off. Luckily, I was pretty good about not drinking and driving and never got myself into any trouble that way. But, you know, I would take a cab home and leave my front door completely open and unlocked, and I would be asleep on my couch where anybody could have came into my house and done whatever to me. So
Right.
I it and it would be almost every year that I would have, you know, one or two experiences that I
Was
would wake
the
up
did
and
it
say,
happen around a certain anniversary? It was the same time of year. Maybe it was around somebody's death
nope.
or.
It was always just an instance where maybe I didn't eat enough and I drank too much, or I
Oh.
started too early, but it just
The
it
bad habits, the
yep,
little bad
just the
habits.
bad habits, yeah, and just over drinking. And then I would scare myself, right? So once it happened the one time in the year, now I'm like nervous. So for the next 3 or 4 months, I'm like, oh my God, let me make sure I eat a piece of pizza before I go out and count my drinks. It was like constantly monitoring to make sure that I wasn't, you know, going off the deep end and getting myself into trouble.
Did alcohol create trouble in your life? Or do you think it was the underlying depression and the things that you're working out with your therapist?
Yeah, I think that was the bigger thing. That there was a lot of things that have gone on in life, and nothing that's, you know, I think unlike anybody else, but just the things that we go through, relationship things, friendship things, things that we go through with our family and conflicts and your parents, all of those things had led me to be in a very depressed state. And so I think I didn't realize it then. I thought I was just being a normal drinker. But I was drinking, I think, to cope and to mask and to numb, and constantly just being in that state of, you know, let me drink to feel better, let me drink to not think about it. And it would just result in constantly feeling worse, you know, waking up with a horrible anxiety, a horrible hangover, hangxiety, as we call it. And just it was a constant, you know, every weekend type of thing, and you know, not remembering what happened the night before, having to have my boyfriend at the time tell me everything that happened. So yeah, I mean, I think it definitely caused some issues in relationships. But most of the people that I was around were drinking the same way that I was. It was more just, you know, trying to deal with my anxiety and depression, and in hindsight, digging myself deeper into a hole of just not liking myself and making those mental health things so much worse.
But now, with your coping skills and your therapy and taking your meds regularly as prescribed, whoop, whoop, you don't need the negative coping skill of the alcohol. You've replaced the one bad thing with at least three good things: walking, going to the gym, and the sober BFF.
Yes, definitely. And it's been so much better. So much better. It's crazy sometimes when I look back at, you know, how like Facebook will bring up like your memories, or Snapchat will do your memories, and you look upon a time and I'm like, oh my God, I was such a disaster. Or I can remember whose birthday it was, or what event it was, and what a disaster I ended up being, or what I was upset about, or whatever the case may have been. To know, and you know, and there's been a lot of hard things that have come since I've quit drinking. You know, I've gone through changes in life and started a new job, and I've left a relationship, and I've left friendships, and some of those things, I don't know how that I would have gotten through them if I was still drinking. You know what I mean? Like I see myself moving through things now that I'm like, my God, Nicole, you are completely just stepping over things that would have completely destroyed you a few years ago. You know, I would have used these things that come up in my life as a perfect excuse to be a victim and feel bad for myself, you know, and self-loathe. And now I'm just like trying to thrive through them. Like, what can I learn from this thing that has happened to me and continue to try and grow from it?
Yes, life can put us in situations where we want to just give up because it hurts and it knocks us down. It creates a victim mindset in us because it's just been so hard to live through. But we can go from being a victim to being a survivor, which
I
is a
agree.
mashup between surviving and thriving because it takes both of them at the same time.
Yeah, I agree for sure.
It takes a brave person to become sober. It takes a brave person to go to therapy. It takes a brave person to go ahead and start trying medications. And I just want to give a shout out to anybody listening who's been going through that process or encourage you to get it started. If you feel like that's you today, go ahead and give your doctor a call and set up an appointment.
Yes, I agree. I couldn't agree with that more. I know I was so afraid of being medicated, and I was so afraid of, going to a psychiatrist or going to a therapist. But I even above quitting drinking, I think getting the help with the therapist and seeing a psychiatrist and really being diagnosed with depression, knowing exactly what is going on in my mind and in my body has been even more so than quitting drinking. It's probably saved my life, to be honest. And there is still that stigma there. I do see it changing. But yeah, that would totally be my thing to anybody. If you are having a tough time and it feels like there is just no end, there is an end. It does get better, but I don't think it gets better until you get some type of like professional help. And that's a strength. Getting that help is a strength. It is not a weakness. I think
And
it's
if
so
you
important that
don't
people
have
know that.
health insurance, because I can hear that right now, like, I
Yeah.
don't have health insurance. I can't afford therapy. In many states, there are federal and state grants for free therapy for victims of crimes. In my state, it's called VOCA, VOCA, Victims of Crimes Act. And they give out money to different charities and shelters and women's shelters so that they can. Oh, I hate this part of my PTSD where I lose my train of thought in the middle of a sentence. Help me out, Nicole. Where did we start?
They can probably point you in the right direction to getting some type of free support as far as therapy goes, I think is where you were going.
Yes.
Yes.
So you can text the line 741-741, which is the crisis text line, and they have lists of resources nationally and in the UK and in Ireland.
That's amazing.
Yes.
That's
I
amazing. And you're so right. The stuff with health insurance definitely does make it hard, but there are resources out there. It's just a matter of finding them. And it's great that you're providing that to people because that's definitely needed.
That might be the best place to start is just send the text with any word, say anything to 741-741, and you will be connected to an empathetic trained crisis counselor who will have those resources available for you.
Wonderful.
So, what resources have you used in Buffalo?
In Buffalo, I didn't get any type of I didn't do like AA because I don't really think that I'm actually an alcoholic. I think I'm just someone who was over drinking and definitely abusing alcohol, but luckily I don't think I had any type of a chemical dependency. But I did go through the Al-Anon program, which is for children and spouses, loved ones of alcoholics, because I am a child of an alcoholic as well. And that program was incredibly helpful to me. When I did it, it was kind of during the COVID time, so there wasn't in-person meetings going on. But for somebody like me who's, believe it or not, a little bit introverted, doing it on an app and not having to actually go into a meeting, I think was really good for me. And I do believe that Alcoholics Anonymous does that as well, where you can just join those virtually. I myself am a part of a group on Instagram that is local, and it's called Sober16. So on Instagram, it's at Sober16. And it's a group of local people in Buffalo, New York, who either are completely sober or, Cali sober. They might still smoke marijuana, and nobody judges anybody's whatever preference that they have. There's some people that just, for the most part, don't drink. But as a whole, we collectively we have a chat that goes on, and people seek advice from just your peers, from people that have been through the same things. And we host some alcohol-free events and try to just have that sense of community, because I do live in a place that is big on drinking, which I think is honestly is anywhere, but Buffalo, New York is definitely a party town. We go to Bills games and get hammered. That's just kind of what goes on here. So locally on Instagram, Sober16 is a great just community to be a part of, I think. But as far as, actual programs, I didn't work one just through Al-Anon, to kind of deal with the other drinkers in my life, which I think Al-Anon has been instrumental in looking at myself as well to say, I can make some positive changes in my life when it comes to alcohol and hopefully break some generational curses as well.
Yes, I wanted to circle back to that, how you mentioned that your mother was an alcoholic, and I'm assuming that affected her parenting abilities negatively.
She didn't my mom didn't really drink a ton until I got to be a little bit older. So she actually really it didn't affect parenting. I think just more in my adulthood, seeing someone drink a lot and seeing that change, when someone's drinking, was hard for me to deal with, seeing that just that change in her. But luckily, I think when you're an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic, and that was probably burning in her for a long time, but it didn't get to a point where it was problematic for me until I was already, in my upper teens and into adulthood. But it's definitely affected our relationship. It's gotten better since I've done Al-Anon, but it definitely, it's a tough thing to watch somebody with any type of an addiction or vice, regardless of if it's alcohol, it's drugs, it's gambling, whatever the case may be, it's really hard to watch somebody that you love do that. And I think my mom struggles as well with mental health and depression, and I don't think that she's figured out yet that
I
the
can
alcohol,
understand that, completely
yeah,
understand that.
the alcohol makes it worse. And I don't think that she, but I didn't realize it for a long time either. And I don't judge her. She's doing, what makes her happy, and I hope that someday, she makes some different choices. But it's, it is what it is. She's happy in her place, but I wish everybody understood the correlation between, alcohol and depression.
Because alcohol is a depressant.
It
It's just a
is.
fact that it affects us as a depressant.
It is. And we all know that, right? But I think when you're actually, in that state of depression and you do struggle with it, you just don't get it until you get it. I know we know that to be a fact, but until you really start to, and I think you have to take yourself out of it. If you are somebody who's drinking week after week and sometimes day after day, and you're always drinking when you're upset, it's not until rip that Band-Aid off and give yourself a break from doing it that you see the difference in your mental health and the difference in your depression to understand that the alcohol is really making it worse. It took me forever to figure it out. So I know that it's not an easy thing to accept when you enjoy drinking and, going out and partying.
Have you read any books or listened to any podcasts that you would recommend to people who are just starting to quit drinking and they need all the support they can get?
Yes, absolutely. So my favorite book that I recommend is This Naked Mind by Annie Grace. And that book has just been life-changing. It really talks about the effects of alcohol on your brain. And that's how I think I began to learn more about how this alcohol was really affecting my anxiety and depression, because I wasn't putting two and two together. I just wasn't. So that really helped me. The other one, and I actually just started listening to it again on Audible, is The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober. And that is by a woman named Catherine Gray. And that's the first book that I read when I quit drinking. Very early on, I was in a state of like isolation. I was like, I'm done with my friends. I'm done with my boyfriend. Like, I need to fix myself. I need to just work on myself. So I kind of put myself in this state of like isolation, and I read that book, and it's one of the like not as popular ones. I feel like people in sobriety always talk about This Naked Mind, and there's another one that's called How to Quit Like a Woman, which is also amazing. But The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober, she talks a lot about routines. And that was very helpful to me because I think with my failing mental health, I didn't have any good routines. And routines, now I swear by them. Like I have to do the same things every day at the same time to really just feel like I'm winning the day. But she talks about those routines and how they help when you're changing your life to quit drinking. And it could be quitting smoking. It could be not gambling. I think it could go for anything. But
For
just
any
going
negative
through,
coping tool.
yes, just me. I mean, it's a huge change, and there's tons of huge changes. I mean, dieting and exercising, any of those things. But it goes through just how these routines can help you. And, you know, she lists her routines, and that got me into, you know, making a list of gratitudes and journaling and, you know, turning my phone to do not disturb before I go to sleep, you know, waking up at the same time, getting my things ready for the gym the day before. Just some of those things, getting a really good skincare routine, like the things that I think many people
And
have
that
figured
can
out.
be easy too. So, like, I put my work clothes out the night before every day. Like, I'll come home from work and put my clothes out for the next day so that in the morning I'm not scrambling with fighting, like, well, what do I want to wear?
That's what I do for the gym. I work from home, so you know, a lot of times I'm putting my sweats on after the gym in the morning, but laying those clothes out, it just sets the tone for the day. And there's so many things that can go wrong in your day. And again, when you're in this state, like I was, of a little bit, you know, anxiety and depression, I was easily triggered, easily annoyed, so agitated. So it's like if you can put the cards in motion to let your day be so smooth, you're just gonna win the day. You know, so that those were things that I think most people have figured out by the time they're at my age, and I just didn't. I didn't have any type of routines, and I think that's just been instrumental for me with quitting drinking and just in every other facet of my life. Like my days are just more productive, and I don't know that if I wouldn't have read that book, I wouldn't have taken some of those core things. I mean, people talk about routines all the time, but I think someone talking about these routines and them helping them in sobriety was just, it was big for me. So that I try to recommend that book to everybody. Like I said, it's not quite as popular as some of the other ones. But it's really, really helped me.
Did you pick up any new spiritual practices, or is that not a part of your coping toolbox?
It's not, you know, it's something that I definitely, as a kid, we went to a Unitarian church, which kind of, you know, celebrates everybody, I guess. My mom is a lesbian, so, you know, I'm all about the gay rights, and sometimes that can get tricky with ch church, I guess. But in this whole new, you know, journey that I've been on, it has something that I've been thinking about, you know, going back to church a little bit, because, you know, as you go through, especially going through a program like Al-Anon, which works the same way as Alcoholics Anonymous. They follow the same 12 steps. It's basically the same program, just kind of geared towards, you know, the loved ones of alcoholics. But you talk a lot about your higher power and believing in something that's, you know, bigger than yourself. So it definitely has been something that has rang a little bit more true to me. And I think when I look at like the changes that I've made and just all of these things, it does make you believe that there is something bigger. So that's definitely a part of my life that I think I need to tap into a little bit more.
I love that I don't have to define that in order to use it. I don't have to decide if I believe in God or anything like that. All I have to do is embrace whatever comes and be grateful.
And that's exactly what, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous was very big on, you know, the God word. And I think it's changed a little bit in just saying, you know, my higher power, and that could be anything. I mean, for some people it's Beyonce. Some days for me it is as well, but you know, it's whatever it is for you. But I do think that, you know, as I've made these changes in my life and trying to just, you know, live my best life, that I definitely, there's some things that I want to tap into and learn more about and explore more things.
Ooh, yes, I agree. I agree. Just explore and what fits with you. Use it or don't.
Yes, exactly.
Well, thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And
I was so honored when you asked if I would like to do an episode. So thank you so much.
have a great night.
You too. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode on life and hope and recovery and trauma and behavior and all things humaning. I appreciate you. I admire you. I believe in you. And I would love to hear from you. You can find my email address in the episode details. Until next time.